Mark Simon joins us from Sports Info Solutions, and we love having him on every week. And Mark, how are you today?
Good. I can attest that I'm wearing shorts at the moment, too. It's very hot in the East Coast as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you're getting hot. It's coming there, and you're in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yep.
Well, we've got, when it gets warm here, the ball tends to fly, and I don't know if you have stats on that, but there's probably something, temperature and how the ball travels. But they got a guy tonight, and Adam and I were talking about Rich Hill. And five innings, 92 pitches, it's sort of what happens, and he gives you a good game, and I guess he understands he's coming out. He can yell and scream, but he comes out of there, and he's an effective pitcher. He's 39 years old. How does this guy do it?
He yells, he screams, he grunts, and he does it with two pitches. He's kind of a wonder of the world, I guess, in the pitching world, so to speak. His way of doing it is, I think, that he changes the eye level of the hitter really effectively, and I think Kruko would talk to this, that he's got that high fastball, and he throws the curveball so much and in counts where you wouldn't necessarily expect it, that the hitters are all fooled, and they don't know necessarily what's coming, and the ball shoots out, and his rate of getting misses against his fastball, which he only throws like 90, is comparable to Verlander. And Verlander's throwing 95-96. Rich Hill's almost always one of the top guys in percentage of swings that miss. And it's amazing. And I think that the curveball and hitters expecting the curveball is a large part of that. They never seem to know what's coming.
Yeah, he didn't have a phenomenal fastball yesterday, but still pitched pretty well. I noticed yesterday early in the game you put out a tweet through the first two innings talking about the Dodgers' defensive runs saved and how they've got exceptional numbers there. It's interesting because they constantly move this lineup around. They're constantly putting guys in different positions. Today you're getting tons of lefties. Can you talk about their defense?
Yeah, their defense is outstanding. I'm teasing something here, but I'm writing something for The Athletic this week about the best infields and the best outfields. And the Dodgers are right at the top in both. And I thought that the plays by Muncy, I think that was what I was alluding to last night, that Max Muncy made a couple of really good diving plays. He's not someone that you would think of as a really good defender. You wouldn't think of, like, David Freese is a really good defender. Justin Turner, I think you think, probably pretty good. Seager's pretty good. But they don't have anyone in the infield that's elite, but they position their guys really, and they get to everything. Like, they shift when they should shift, and the ball seems to find them. And then when they need it, a guy like Muncy can make a play like that. Their infield's very good. In fact, I guess you could say that if you rewound about 4 or 5 years, that's what the Giants infield was.
Boy, Mark Simon with us. Mark, what's your Twitter handle? Because everyone should follow Mark on Twitter. You do stuff during the week that is absolutely terrific. So let us know where you are on Twitter.
Sure, you can go two places. Mark A. Simon Says, A is my middle initial. And then the other place is sportsinfo_SIS for Sports Info Solutions, the company that does all the analytic tracking that I work for.
Yeah, it's terrific. I love when you tweet during the week. It's always interesting stuff. And I'm going to ask you about a couple of your hard hit ball rates that you talked about this week. But first of all, where's the Giants' defense in all this? Where do they match up offensively, defensively? Not offensively, but infield, outfield.
Sure. On the infield, I think, as I said, if you looked at Longoria, Crawford, Panic, and Belt like 4 years ago, they would be like top three. Every time they put up the gold, the graphic with the infield defense, they always got the three gold gloves on the infield. Right now, I think they've faded a little bit, but there's still enough there that they're still pretty good. Joe Panic's made a lot of great plays this year. We've talked about that before. Longoria has been a lot better since the end of last season, now into this season. I know Crawford's hampered by injuries, but he's still fairly reliable. So right now I think I have them at the bottom of the top 10, but that's still a pretty good place to be. With the outfield, it's harder because who do you consider the left fielder on this team?
I don't know. The Yastrzemski right now, yeah. Nobody consistent.
You essentially have to give them like a zero, right? Okay, so you got a left fielder that's a zero, and then you can judge Pilar, who's good, maybe not great, but still pretty good. Again, another guy who's a little bit older. And Steven Duggar, who's been very good. Very good, good to average, and then an average. That's not bad. That again, is, I think, bordering on top 10. There aren't necessarily a lot of things that the Giants are doing well, but their defensive play, even though you might get frustrated by some of the mistakes, is still pretty good.
it's incredible the defensive numbers for the Dodgers that you had mentioned. I want to circle back just a minute because over the last couple of weeks, we've seen them almost exclusively now. They're using Bellinger in right field, right? And yep. his cannon is insane. He's got a good glove out there. He runs like a gazelle. His speed is impressive. But they don't lose anything, as you're saying, on the defensive end, on the infield. You've got Max Muncy, who was this power-hitting, slugging first baseman, and now you figure they're willing to sacrifice the defense to get the offense, but they're still incredible. Is the defense been better since putting Bellinger in the outfield exclusively?
They have. Their numbers this year are outstanding. They were very good last year, but what Bellinger has done has made them even better. Verdugo's addition has also been pretty significant for them. They play Jock Peterson in left. He's been good there. They don't have a weakness because they've got Barnes behind the plate, and he's very good. Kershaw is very good on the mound. I think, too, that it's partly you got to give a little credit to the analytics department for knowing what it's doing with those guys, both in getting the guys that they get and then putting them in the best position to succeed.
Mark Simon with us here talking about the statistics and the analytics of the game, specifically the Giants and the Dodgers right now. Can you talk about the Giants' hard hit rate? Because Marty was showing me some notes earlier that you'd come up with, talking about how many routine fly balls they hit, that they're not barreling numbers up. And I don't think people are totally familiar with the hard hit rate or the barrel rate. Can you talk about the Giants' lack of hard hit balls this year?
I like that.
Sure.
Stat. I like that. Go ahead.
It's fun because it's easy. Like, you either hit the ball hard or you didn't. And I think we can all know a hard hit ball when we see it.
Or hear it.
Our system is a little different from the StatCast system, but they're still fairly similar. The last time I checked, which was, I think, a day or two ago, the Giants were 26th in hard hit rate. And I think I checked it because I was watching one of the games against the Mets, and it was over and over, routine fly ball after routine fly ball. And these are guys that in the past used to hit them pretty hard, Longoria, Belt, guys like that. Especially when you take someone like Buster Posey out, you're losing a lot on the hard hit front. I kind of feel like it's a dust stat, so to speak. I think people, if they watch the Giants enough this year, they would know that the Giants just aren't good at hitting the ball hard. And usually the best offensive teams are right at the top of the list.
Yeah, makes sense. Mark Simon with us, Sports Info Solutions. Mark, the other thing about the Giants bullpen, and I looked it up today, Giants bullpen is second in the National League in ERA. I think they're the most innings thrown for a bullpen. I think Colorado and Milwaukee was right there with them. But why is their bullpen so good? Because do they hit the ball hard against the bullpen? They don't walk people. What makes the Giants bullpen one of those bullpens that when the trade deadline comes, people are going to look at the Giants?
Yeah, I think they should. I think it's a little, odd because teams are hitting the ball hard against them, but they're not necessarily profiting a lot from it. And I think part of that is that you have a guy like Dyson who keeps the ball on the ground, and Marant has got the nasty pitches too. But I think the primary reason is that there aren't necessarily a lot of guys on base against them when there could be more. Their strikeout to walk for relief pitchers this year is like almost 3-1, which I checked it a second ago. It was top five in the majors this season. And that's great. Other than Maranta, if you took Maranta out, it's even higher. None of those guys walk people. Will Smith doesn't walk people. Dyson doesn't walk people. And if you don't walk people, you're not giving them the opportunities. And if the ball's put in play, as we said, this Giants defense is pretty good. They're either going to be in the right spot to catch it, or they're going to run and make a catch against it and be able to make a play. So just, if you want to be a good reliever, keep not walking people, because if you look at the teams that are in the top six or seven in that, it's all the really good teams in baseball, and I guess, and the Giants.
Very good. I'm going to look that up. That's a great stat. Mark Simon with us. Absolutely follow Mark on Twitter. Melanson gave up a home run to Todd Frazier, and yep. It looked like, and I always say, in today's world, you better bury that 1-2-0-2 pitch. You better not leave it hanging at all, even if it's in the bottom of the strike zone. And Frazier just flicked it out of the ballpark. Is that the epitome of what baseball has turned into?
It really is. And it's just frustrating sometimes to watch these days. Something like that could go out of the park, and I like the Mets. So I guess it's weird that I say that. But that's baseball 2019. I think one of the most baseball stats of the season is that Danny Hecheverria is now like a legitimate power hitter, which is kind of ridiculous. And it'll be interesting to see, like, when they move the fences in at Oracle, what the heck happens, especially, as you said, on a night like tonight where the ball could really be flying. But, yeah, that's kind of the grumbling of me the last 72 hours or so. There are too many undeserved home runs these days, and I don't have any metrics on that, but I would think they would bear me out for the most part.
Yeah, I believe it. Opposite field home runs going, the guys who never hit them before, out of the strike zone, low. It just seems to me if you miss high, it's tough to hit it out. I mean, high.
Yep.
But if you miss down in that strike zone, I can't believe it that these guys can dig that ball out and flip it out of the ball.
Well, the other thing about it, Marty, is they used to teach pitching is if you miss, you want to miss low. You don't want to miss up. And now because guys can dig these out and hit them out, it's like you've changed the philosophy of pitching almost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, boy, interesting. Mark Simon with us. Hey, Mark, maybe a last thought for you a little bit on Samardzija. And again, I know, fly ball pitcher, you know, he's in the right park for him. But good game last week in Baltimore, and that's a, you know, home run hitter's park. And he has pitched well against the Dodgers before. He is a righty. The lineup is all lefties except for Justin Turner and Kiki Hernandez. So your thoughts about Samardzija tonight?
Okay, positive start against the Orioles, but it's hard. The Orioles are not necessarily the best team to measure yourself against. I think the best thing that you saw there was probably the no walks, and that they let him go. He got to 110 pitches, which is something that you don't see many guys do these days. He only had gotten more than 90 once all season. So I think the fact that he was able to battle and get out, he threw a lot of pitches per inning, was something positive. I was impressed that Drew Pomeranz got through the first inning yesterday. So I will say good things are ahead for Samardzija today if we're going to do a score prediction. Let's go, I was going to go 4-1 Dodgers, but since Giants radio station, let's go 4-1 Giants.
4-1 Giants. Okay, now Samardzija, how many strikes does he throw tonight?
Let's say, how about 70%.
Okay, so if he goes...
He's normally 65% for the season, so we'll say he has a good day, 70%.
All right, very good. 4-1 Giants and 70% of whatever he's going to throw. Let's say he throws 80, I'll make it easy. So 56 strikes, okay.
There you go.
Very good. Hey, we'll catch up with you next week. It's always great to have you on. And as I tell everybody, follow Mark on Twitter. It really is good during the week when he comes up with a lot of good stuff. So, Mark, thank you so much as always. And we'll see what Rich Hill does tonight. And I guess typical of both these teams, this will be a bullpen game tonight without a doubt.
Yep, you got it.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Take care. All right. That is Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Pretty good.